preparations before our destination, whether it's we get up in the morning and we get a shower or we put on our uniform or how we dress kind of dictates what we are going to do that day. And some and many times people can tell what we're doing that day just by our preparation. And then I got to thinking, well, I could reverse that phrase and say destination determines our preparation. And they seem to both fit. And so I was just kind of a little bit of a loss this morning. I think, well, I should do something different at the very last minute. But I'm not going to. You know, it became that. But many times we dress, we do things in preparation for the destination that we take. This morning, we're still in the book of Ruth. And so if you have your Bibles with you, open up to the book of Ruth, chapter 3. If you don't, there's a Bible right in front of you in the pew. Grab it, and I strongly encourage you to follow along with me, to be with me in the scripture. And may it be a part of your daily life. And I'm going to be in chapter 3. We looked at verses 1 and 2 last week. We're really going to focus on verse 3, but I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Just kind of put it in follow-up context of what we're doing today. Chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, am I on? Yeah, I guess. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now, is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." So we've been going along in this story, following Ruth, and we've been introduced to Boaz here. And up to this point, Ruth's relationship with Boaz has been a relationship of where a servant and master relationship. And Ruth, she's been gleaning in Boaz's field. She's been following behind all the harvesters that are there. She's picking up all the grain that's been left over or has been dropped. And sometimes for Ruth, it's been dropped there on purpose. And we see here that throughout this story that we've been following here, that Boaz, that he's been kind to Ruth. But that relationship has been, or hasn't been, really what either of them want it to be up to this point. And all throughout this harvest season, Ruth has contented herself with going to Boaz's field and gleaning. Boaz, he's done everything in his power to let Ruth know that he actually wants a deeper relationship with her. And, you know, he's gone out of his way to let his other servants know to leave her alone. Don't mess with her when she's out in the field. Drop some grain on purpose for her. At the end of the day, he eats lunch with her. At the end of the day, he heaps a bunch of grain onto her and sends her on her way. I mean, he's taking care of her. He's gone out of his way, above and beyond everything that's required of him. He's gone out of his way to reach Ruth, and really he wants to be a blessing to her life. Now, if this relationship is going to progress farther than it has been, and the next move is going to need to be Ruth's. And here in the passage, we see here that Naomi, she gives Ruth a nudge. She lets Ruth know that it's up to her to lay claim to Boaz as that kinsman redeemer, which we looked at before. And so far, Ruth she's done nothing in the way of claiming him. Nothing in the way of claiming Boaz as that person. And so Naomi gives Ruth some instruction here, and actually what Naomi does is she gives Ruth four specific things that's going to take this relationship to the next level. And again, we think of Scripture, we have this little four-chapter book, and what's it all about? And again, our relationship with how we are in our relationship to our Heavenly Father, and again, I'd say the micro detail would be how our relationship is between a man and a woman. But we realize that all Scripture, as 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, is there. It's inspired by God. Some translations say God breathed, and it's there for training and for correcting and rebuking for righteousness. You know, so the man of God would be equipped for every good work. You know, there's many people that claim a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They say they're saved and they enter into his field, but what happens is they glean a little here and they glean a little bit there, and they glean now and then they glean then. It's just the little bits. And there's also those who feel that their relationship with the Lord has become stagnant and it's not progressing as it should. And all the while, Jesus has done everything in his power to let you know that he wants a deep and a close relationship, an abiding relationship. And when I say abiding, it's one where they come in and they set up residence. They've unpacked their bags and they're staying. That's the kind of relationship that he wants with you. After all, Jesus died for you. He died for our sin. You know, he is on, and I would say as a question, is he on our thoughts? Is he on your thoughts? Do you think about the Lord daily? You know, I was, you know, asked Debbie the question yesterday. I go, all the time that you've known the Lord as your Savior, has there been a day that's gone by where you have not had a thought of God? And honestly, can't say that there has been that time. There's always been some moment or some thought about God, even if it's a thought of shame on my part. You know, if you're saved, he's personally called you to himself. If you're saved, he lives right now in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be close to him, and he's done everything that he can to make that a reality in your life. However, before that, before you can ever become or have that reality for you, you're going to have to make the next move. Now, Naomi, she tells Ruth four things. And here we have a picture, really, of a sinner who comes to Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at these four essentials here. As Naomi tells Ruth here in verse 3, to wash. Wash yourself. You know, the first thing she tells Ruth here is, you need to get clean. In the Titus, I'm going to whip back here, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we're told here, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you and I are going to come to Christ, a washing needs to take place. You know, it's one in which our life is searched, and anything that's displeasing to the Lord must be confessed, repented of, and put aside. You know, we must confess, admit that we're the ones. Repent. We've changed our mind about it, and we're going to lay that aside. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us, it tells us, from all unrighteousness. And it's the same kind of washing that Nicodemus needed in chapter 3 of John. Nicodemus, he thought, you know, I'm a good guy. You know, I'm a religious guy. Yeah, but, and it's a big but, you know. But Nicodemus needed a bath. He needed a spiritual bath. And Jesus tells him in chapter 3, verse 7, that you must be born again. He needed a washing, like Titus there, a washing of regeneration. You cannot get into heaven until you have become a new creature in Christ. You know, Jesus declared in John 3:3 that, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You know, the world that we live in, it says do something and then you'll be somebody. And really God's word, it tells us that be somebody and then you can do something. You know, when we become a new creature in Christ, then we can do something. You know, I don't believe, and I'm just speaking, and I'll pick on the men. I don't believe a man can be a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father, until he is a godly man, a man of God. You know, be somebody, and then you can do something. You know, in Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. And transgressions, the short word would be sin. But he who confesses and forsakes them finds compassion. In Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Here David, he dealt with this sin, and he took all the necessary steps to come clean with the Lord. You know, one of the things that drives the point home of really why I believe the Bible is that you notice that the Bible shows all of the people in the Bible, even our heroes, they don't just show them in a good light. We get to see the dark side of each one of them. And we think of David. Here's a guy, he was an adulterer, a murderer, and yet he was a man after God's own heart. But here's what separates him from the rest. He's a man that comes to God and admits that when he's wrong. He acknowledges his sin. Naomi tells Ruth here, you know what, you've been working in that field. You need a bath. You know? And that's the first step, is to come clean with the Lord. And when I say come clean with the Lord, we come clean with the Lord in repentance. You know, we acknowledge our sin to him. We come clean to him. The second thing is, Naomi tells Ruth here, is to anoint yourself. Perfume yourself. You know, that little bottle of Chanel No. 5 that you bought back in Moab and you brought with you, put that on. You know, you want to catch a man, you need to smell good. All us men say, amen. You know, do you know everything changes with some perfume, doesn't it? You know, Debbie and I, we have some photos of when we were down in Mexico down in Juarez one time. And you'll look at those pictures and you go, what? Looks like a pretty nice place, kind of. You know, it just kind of looks like you're on the street. But what you couldn't get past is the smell. It stunk. You know, it was just like, it was just stinky. You know, it looked good, but it smelled. It just changes everything. And you ever notice that your smells, they change your attitude? Why is there so much money spent on aromatherapy? Because it changes your attitude about things. You know, Ruth, you need to smell good to Boaz. You know, the believer is to be a sweet smell in the nostrils of the Lord as well. You know, Ruth is preparing to place herself at the feet of Boaz to enjoy the best that Boaz has to offer. And if we expect to find ourselves at the Lord's feet, enjoying the Lord's best that he has for us, then we're to live a life that comes up before God like a sweet-smelling incense. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You know, the world needs Christians to smell like it. You know, instead, many times we just smell just like the world. You know, we're to be the aroma of Christ. You know, the ones that smell like Christ. If you go a little farther there, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life, and who is adequate for those things. You know, there's this anointing that needs to take place. And an anointing, it's actually an agricultural term. The shepherds would, you know, and we'd even do it on the farm with the pigs and even the cattle. We didn't raise sheep, thank God. But we had pigs and cattle. And the thing is, but shepherds, they would just, you dip them in oil. You dip them in a vat of, and like the cattle, we had it's like a cloth or a strap that would go across two poles, and we'd just run them through it, and it would rub their backs. And you're anointing them with an oil, and it's a type of insecticide, really, to keep the lice and the bugs and all the kind of nasty things off of their hide. And this anointing, it was also used by the priests and kings, and what it was for, it was this, to set things apart. Now, there's no magical potion. There's nothing special about that oil in that sense. It was to signify a setting apart. When you and I become children of God, you know, when we realize the tremendous amount of spiritual growth that's going to take place in that realm of being part of God's children, you know, we're babes. We're not quite full grown yet, and sometimes we can be full grown and still babes. We receive an anointing of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, and you all know. Now the NASB says all that you all know. I kind of like the way the NIV phrases it. It says, all you know the truth. The Spirit of God is the one who can teach us all truth. And all of us need the teaching of the Spirit of God. The only way that we can understand the Word of God is by the Spirit of God. You know, someone who doesn't have that, they can read the Bible, and a lot of it truly is just not going to make any sense. You know, there can be some good principles that a worldly person could look at and understand, but there's quite a portion of it that they wouldn't get apart from the Spirit of God. It's not going to be by human intellect. You know, we might understand facts, but only the Spirit of God can teach us spiritual things. Does that make sense? So Naomi's telling Ruth, you need to wash. You need to put on some perfume. And you need to put on your best clothes. Put on your best clothes, Naomi tells Ruth. You know that dress that you bought back in Moab? You wore it once and you thought you'd never wear it again? Put that one on. You know, Boaz, he has fallen for you while you were wearing those dark widow's clothes. Can you imagine what he's going to think when you put on that little party dress? I mean, when it comes to extreme makeovers, they're not just a new concept. They've been around a long time. When you and I come to Christ and we accept Him as Savior, we're told that He, Jesus, He becomes our righteousness. You know, in that the word robe comes up. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. When we come to Christ, God not only cancels our sin debt, He not only regenerates us and makes us a child of God, what He does is He places over us His own righteousness. You know, Romans 3:22 says, even the righteous of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. You and I, we stand clothed in that robe of righteousness. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's as if, you know, we're in that trial, we're in that courtroom, and you're sitting in the chair, the being accused of a crime that you committed. You're guilty, and the judge comes down off of his bench, and he takes his robe off and he puts it on you. You know, he does that for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So wash, put on that perfume, put on that dress. And Naomi tells Ruth here, and go down to the threshing floor. You know, go down to that threshing floor and let Boaz know that you want to claim him as your kinsman redeemer. For Ruth, if she's ever going to have rest and to have rest at the feet of Boaz, she'd have to leave where she was and to go where he is. In our relationship with the Lord, sometimes He's over there and we're over here. You know, I remember in New Mexico, when we worked with the boys, it was a lot of aquí and allá. And aquí means there, allá means there, and aquí means here. And so you're telling the boys a lot of aquí, you know, not allá. And it's like that. Jesus is over there, and we're over here. You know, years ago, back when we were in Plummer, and I was in the church over there, allá, there was and I'd been there for a number of years, and one of the older fellows from that community comes into the church one day while I'm there. And I knew him. He's in the community, and you mingle. And it's a small town. And his first name was Tom. And Tom said, he goes, this is my church. And I go, well, Tom, I've been here for a long time. I've never seen you here. Never seen you in church. And come to find out later, he never really was a part of that church. But he said that was his church. And sometimes even in the church, or I'd say for like Tom, they're part of all these different organizations. You know, I'm a part of this church, and I'm a part of the Kiwanis Club, or I'm a part of whatever, you know, Fraternal Order of Antelope, whatever it is. You're part of some organization, and it looks good on an obituary. And I still read the obituaries every time I get the paper. That's one of the things I always read. And I read it, I read it all the way through, and you'll see all the things that people are a part of. And when I get done reading it, I go, gosh, they were a part of everything. And then I realize, really? Maybe not. You know, it's just in word only. And many times there's people in a church, they can join it, and they join it as if they're joining some other type of club, some other type of social or civic organization. It looks good on an obituary. But they've never really received Jesus Christ. You know, it's an important step for you and I and for every sinner to get down to that threshing floor and to claim Him, Jesus Christ, as the kinsman redeemer. Friends, we need to claim Him. The Bible uses words like believe upon or believe into. And both of those, they're active words. You know, they're not a bystander word. You can't stand along the sidelines of Christianity or what you think it is and just nod your head. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He is our Savior. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the questions for you this morning, or challenges, are you washed? Have you come clean with the Lord? Have you put on that sweet-smelling perfume of the Holy Spirit, that anointing, that set apart? Have you got rid of all those ragged clothes and allowed the Lord to clothe you with His righteousness? Have you left the place where you are to be where He is? And have you got down to that threshing floor? You know, if you think about this story and as we read it, and it's a true story, so it's to some degree we can kind of put ourselves in that mind's eye. If people were watching Ruth heading down to that threshing floor, and remember, she's washed, she's put on that dress, she's smelling pretty good, do you think any of those people thought, well, she's just heading to work? No, not at all. She's on a mission. When others look at your preparation, they should see your destination for each one of us. Regardless of who you are or where your walk is with the Lord, today is your opportunity to begin that process of making it all that it should be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You and we give You praise today. Lord, for each one of us, and I preach this to myself, Lord, that Father, is my walk, is my preparation displaying my destination? And I think about the world that we live in today. We'll just pick on little Libby, Montana. Father, is our preparation being displayed of our destination here to the folks in Libby? Father, I pray that You use each one here mightily for Your glory. Father, if there's some sin in our life that we need to come clean with, may we do that today. Father, may we, again, realizing that we are anointed with this Holy Spirit, that we are set apart. Are we a sweet-smelling aroma to the world around us, Lord? Father, are we a people that we see where You are and not going the other way, but we go where You are, Lord? And we get down on that threshing floor. Father, if there's one person in this room today that doesn't know You as the Lord and Savior, I pray that right now You draw them to Yourself and they wholeheartedly come to You and surrender. And Father, we're going to give You all the praise and glory this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.